What is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Dense Pixels Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, joined by my co-host, Micah.
Hello.
So since we're still in this like post-Summer Games Fest malaise, and since we covered like all the news last week, there's like no news this week. Like, we really had to scrape the bottom of the news barrel for the two stories that we have. And I would argue that the two stories that we have for the news this week are only tangentially related to video games. Like, they're not even video game news per se, but they have video game tie-ins. But that's fine, because I've actually been playing a lot of new games lately. So because I'm not feeling like I want to get into Final Fantasy 16, right? And I had that time like booked in my head canon. I've ventured on other things. So I'm still playing Diablo 4, and we'll talk about that in a second, because I've vanquished the campaign. And I'm still playing, I've been playing Street Fighter as much as I like. Like, I feel like with Street Fighter, I want to clear my deck and actually just really get down in the Street Fighter for a couple weeks. I've just been dabbling so far, and that hasn't been, it's hard just to dabble in Street Fighter. But Steam also is having their summer sale right now. So I picked up a lot of games that had been on my list to check out for cheap. And so I've talked on this show before about how I'm really enjoying Super Mega Baseball 4, and its predecessor as well. And one of the things that I like about it is that it's not afraid to really have fun, and to be like earnestly goofy and charming in a way that like MLB The Show can't be. And it's because MLB The Show is an officially licensed Major League Baseball game. So they have to present like the most pristine image of Major League Baseball that they possibly can. It's not going to be overly fun and celebratory, and you're also not going to get like the realism of like a player getting suspended for 80 games because of he tested positive for a banned substance, as happens in Major League Baseball in real life. But like MLB would not allow that to happen in their video game. And so you get this very curated product. And it's like that with all licensed sports sims. And I think that my view on this has only been hardened that really unlicensed sports sims are kind of the way to go. Because I've picked up and have been playing a game called Motorsport Manager on PC. Now, this is also on mobile. It started as a mobile game and came to PC eventually. And Motorsport Manager is exactly what it says on the tin. You are running a racing team, and you are going through all the trials and tribulations. You're developing car parts. You're managing race day strategies. You're building up your team's like complex over several years, and you have a chairman that you're beholden to, you know, meeting up to certain goals in terms of like finishing position and stuff like that. And you negotiate with sponsors and all that jazz. And it's very similar to a game that came out last year and is coming out with a new edition this year called F1 Manager, which is literally just like the F1 management simulator where you're doing all the same stuff, where you're a team principal and managing the team's finances and car development and yada, yada, yada. But again, the problem is that you are getting the best possible version of F1 in the F1 Manager game, whereas the Motorsport Manager, because it's not licensed, can be really, really fucking goofy. So the first thing that's cool is that through like DLCs that have come out, they have multiple different style of racing cars in the game. So like they have single seaters, but there's also GT cars, and there's also endurance racing as well. And you can be the team principal for any one of those series. And then within each of those race types, they have three tiers. So like F1, you know, has F1, F2, and F3, which are kind of like, you know, the top group, and then on down for developmental. They have kind of that same structure in all three of the racing series. And what's nifty about that is that when you're signing drivers or engineers, or when you yourself, like, you know, get poached by another racing team as a team principal, you can switch back and forth. Like, you can cross in between series. Like, you can start as the manager of like a team for in like a single seater series, and a GT team could approach you and be like, hey, we want you to manage our GT car team. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. And how those cars race and how you have to strategize for them and whatnot are going to be, you know, very different from one another, because single seat racing is very different than GT car racing, and it's very different than endurance racing. So like that part's pretty nifty. I like how they don't shy about putting weird quirky personality traits on the drivers. So like this game has a ton of systems, and I don't want to get too in the weeds on all the systems the game has, but they have things like, you know, when a driver works with an engineer for a number of weeks, like they develop a rapport, and that unlocks like bonuses that the engineer can give that driver on race day and things of that nature, which is pretty cool. But like that drivers also have traits that can positively or negatively hamper them. So like my lead driver right now on my team, he has a trait called crazy, where he just like is like a conspiratorial nut. And because of that, he pisses off every engineer that he works with. So like they never grow their relationship at all. So he never gets like the bonuses that you can get from that. And I found out the other day, like one of my staff members told me, oh, the same driver, by the way, I think he's having an affair right now with he's cheating on his wife, and that's making his focus go down on race days because he's distracted by the fact that he has an affair. You can get pay drivers where in real life, where like if you sign this guy, he has a personal sponsor that comes with him that'll pay you money for racing him every weekend, like putting him in a race seat every weekend. They're like, look, we'll fucking pay you to put this dude in a car. Like, and if you're a struggling team with a shoestring budget, like having a pay driver, pretty good coming in. Be like, yeah, like I'll give you some laps and, you know, you can drive in practice and I'll get some money on the side for this dude. It's been really fun so far. Like I said, it's sim light. I don't think it's as in depth as the F1 manager game probably is. But it's still really fun, and it's a very casual game. Like, it's a game you can kind of play while you're listening to a podcast in the background and things like that. And it's really fun, especially managing, like the real gameplay comes, like, in managing the race day strategies, because you are, you know, telling both your drivers, like, how to, you know, whether they should be pushing or not, and kind of adjust, you know, managing how they're working their tires and calling them in for pit stops and adjusting the pit strategy. Like, do you fix this part on the car that's starting to get a little dodgy, but there's only 10 laps in the race, and if you let it go, like, he might finish, but it might also break, and he might have a serious fucking problem, but if you fix it, it's going to add, like, 7 seconds to your pit time, so can you really, you know, and making those kind of split-second calls is a pretty good time. So I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's like dirt cheap right now. So if you haven't think this might be interesting to play like Team Principal, in a racing game, this is one to check out. I think it's also on sale on mobile right now, since Motorsport Manager. I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's really good. And it, like I said, cemented the belief that, that unlicensed sims, are probably the best sports games that are out there right now. So I hope any aspiring developers that obviously can't get an official license from a lot of these sports leagues, but can still put together a really fun sim-like sports game, takes heed and kind of broadens that market a little bit. Because I feel like that all the air is taken up by all the licensed properties.
It's this sounds like one of those quintessential dad games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like all the management games, right?
Yeah.
All the simulator games are dad games, right? Because when you're a dad in a loving relationship with your spouse and children, you usually nobody listens to you. So you can get one of these things and boss around the people in the sim. This sounds really interesting. Like, I don't know if I'd pick it up, but it sounds interesting. Like with some roguelike type, well, this driver, he's good, but he's crazy. You know what I mean?
Fortunately, I plan on upgrading from that one crazy dude at the end of this season with somebody hopefully better. Because that's the other thing is like you know, you'd expect in games like this, like drivers come with like a star rating that show you how good they are, and then they also have like a potential. Well, this dude's like 30 years old, and he is a 2.5-star driver and will be for the rest of his life. And I'm like, well, we at MPX Racing or MPX Motorsports need to find someone that's gonna take us ahead in the future. And so I need to make sure that we get shit going here.
That is funny.
Yeah. So I also finished the Diablo 4 campaign is done and dusted. And Micah, I know that you finished this as well. So not that we need to talk spoilers, but I kind of want to talk about the campaign as a whole and then talk about kind of the initial scrapings of the endgame. I got to tell you, I was really impressed as far as the story goes and as far as the presentation goes for a Diablo game. Like this was really well done, well scripted, well acted, and they actually made you like give a shit about the characters a little bit, and the story actually like took some twists and turns and was pretty interesting. What did you think about the campaign in 4?
I think this was the most interesting like fly on the wall of a couple having a divorce ever, right? Like it was I actually really enjoyed the story. It was Lilith is the thing with these games now, and Ubisoft does it a lot, is you get this really interesting, like compelling, charismatic villain. Mm-hmm. But like they don't interact with the player until like one point in the game, right? It's usually at the very end, and I get it, it's supposed to build it up and build it up, but Lilith, while I enjoyed her as a character, she kind of was either one step behind or one step ahead, and I didn't really get it. I would have liked to interact with that character a little more, mm-hmm. But she's an interesting character. I do like her. And Arias is also a very interesting character. This is kind of like the theology that I'm interested in, right? Like,
I told my wife, because she played 3, but she didn't really know any of the backstory before that. And this game leans on a lot of like old Diablo lore, like even pre Diablo 1 lore that a lot of people might not know. And I told her, I have the Book of Cain. I have a physical copy of the Book of Cain. I was like, you got to read through the Book of Cain. You get the whole backstory on the Diablo universe.
Yeah. Like all my atheist friends, right? Like, if you just play Diablo, you would find theology incredibly interesting. Because it's just the same nonsense that's like any other mythology, Greek mythology and Egyptian mythology and all that. But with a religion that like is still like very much active. It's weird, right? Because people have this like reverence for what they believe in, which is fine. And other people are treating it like fucking Jerry Springer. Right? You know what I mean? But I did like the campaign. I liked it a lot. That being said, I'm gonna skip it every time
once you play it once, you don't need to play it again. I really like I take your point about Lilith. I feel like the true villain of the game from the player's perspective is almost Elias, because he was very easy to hate. And very punch in the face worthy, and the Lilith piece was almost like an epilogue.
I wouldn't call her an 11th hour villain, mm-hmm. but I wish there was a little more interaction. And like I get it, right? Like I get it. I'm essentially a mortal. I can't interact with a god. Like what does a god have to? Like she's just like, get out of here, right? Like if anything, she's trying to convert me, right?
I'll tell you what else was cool. And again, without spoiling anything, there's a character that you run into throughout the game that's very important in the Diablo lore that I wasn't expecting them to use in the way that they did. And the way that the campaign ends, it sets up for a very compelling second chapter that's, I would assume, going to be explored in whatever the first DLC is that comes out.
That was my one like major like not criticism, but mm-hmm. like like, oh, okay, well, this is an obvious, like, it's, this is a business. This is an obvious setup. Like, I just kind of want stories that, like, have a beginning, middle, and end sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I know this, yeah, I kind of knew that going in, like, since this is a persistent game, it's not going to be, it's not going to have that, but I was satisfied with it. And like I said, I like the presentation most of all. I think the story was incredibly interesting, and I like the characters. I am hitting a wall. I hit a wall with my first character.
Mm-hmm.
I got my sorceress up to like 50 something, and I got that itch to play another character.
Yeah.
So I started a barbarian, and now that barbarian is at like 55. And I don't want to start a new character because the season is getting ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I think I'm just going to put it down for a while because, like, yeah, the road to 100 is long and arduous. I saw some stat that was like level 85 is halfway to 100.
Yeah, like from an experience apparently point. It takes as much XP to get from 85 to 100 as it does from 1 to 85, which...
Damn.
Now what I will say is there was a lot of critique when the game came out for the first couple weeks, because once you got past the campaign and once you were doing endgame stuff, nightmare dungeons were like the most the best way to gain XP, but not doing them the way the developers like intended. So like you literally had to like and this was the most efficient way to do it because of the amount of XP that was being given, was to do like half of a specific dungeon and then literally like quit out of the game and then go back in and start the dungeon again and do half of it and quit out and go back in and do half. And so because obviously that's not how Blizzard would prefer you to play the game, they did significantly up the amount of XP that Nightmare Dungeons give you. They also made it possible to fast travel to them once you beat the campaign, whether or not you have... found them on the map. So that I thought was interesting too. Like even if you haven't found uncovered it on the dungeon on the map yet, it still will give you a fast travel point to go.
Oh wow.
To kind of warp right in there. Also Whispers got buffed big time as well. So Whispers is another one of the end game activities. Apparently that's supposed to be like the primary way to level a new character from 1 to 50. So like when you start your season, like you should probably do a lot of Whispers to get your character like leveled up to 50 so you can start dumping Paragon stuff in. I really like the Paragon board and kind of how they give you a little bit more autonomy as far as like how you want to level your character up post 50 to kind of upgrade their stats and things like that. I think it's also nifty that they kind of let you preview what the next boards are going to be that you'll unlock, so you can kind of see the direction that you want to take for future planning. I mean, it still takes a really long fucking time to earn Paragon points because, like Micah said, the level grind is not as easy as in other Diablo games, or at least not for, like, not super hardcore players, which me and Micah are not. But I've been enjoying the end game so far. I did also venture into the Fields of Hate, and that's been a bit of an up-and-down experience. The only problem with the Fields of Hate is that there's no real party balancing. So like if you run up on a group of like three people and you're playing solo, you're probably going to get your teeth kicked in. So there's really nothing you can do about it. So that's a bit of a bummer. I've not fought any of the world bosses yet because I haven't been on at a time where they happen to have been spawned. So that's something I'm looking forward to checking out at some point as well. But so far, so good. And what's cool about this one, about this Diablo game, is they put so much stuff in the game that there's still, like, so much to do just from a check all the boxes and complete all the areas standpoint. Like, there's so many dungeons that I did. Like the vast majority of dungeons I didn't touch during the campaign. There's still a lot of areas to discover. I didn't do too many of the strongholds throughout the campaign as well. So, like, there's still a lot of game content that I can do as well. And my wife is very much, like, a completionist in that respect. So she's anxious to, like, uncover the whole map and check all those boxes and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, pretty good end game so far for Diablo 4. I'm sure they will still keep up with tweaking it and idealizing it. And then the new season, like Micah said, starts, I think, sometime this month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know it's July. I just don't know. I just don't know when in July.
Yeah, I don't know that they've set a date yet. I just think they said July, so we'll see what happens there. Any updates on what did you call it last week?
Satan might weep.
Yeah, Satan might weep. There you go. So I should have titled the show last week.
So the game opens up and the main character, Jon Snow, kind of has to he gets a little more personality, and his best friend Sansa gets a little more personality. But at what cost? At what cost? there are Game of Thrones parallels that I can make, but I don't want to spoil anything for people. But those two characters got to grow up real fast. But that first act, I'm in the second act, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least I believe it's the second act. I've seen enough movies that I know a story structure when an act is over. The first act is real slow. Right, first, like when you are young, Jon Snow, it is very, very slow, and it's not slow. It when you're young, Jon Snow, it's fine. 2 hours setting everything up, I get it. When you are adult, Jon Snow, it is slow, and it is, you know, it's still more world building, but it's like the type of world building that's like, hey, this world is full of bigots and racists. And we are gonna beat you over the head with it, to the point where they are literally the bearers, the black people of the game, essentially, are literally in fields, being chastised by the people who are essentially the white people of the game, and you know the big. So I'll give away this part of the story. The big blight that is climate change that is happening, right? The world is kind of powered by these giant crystals because it's a Final Fantasy game, right? Mm-hmm. And these crystals are like the size of mountains. And, you know, they are essentially the greatest resource of this land, to the point where cities pop up around these giant crystals because that's where like the oil is, right? Well, the reason the blight is happening is because these crystals exist. So the terrorist organization that Jon Snow has kind of aligned himself with is like, hey, if we want to stop climate change, we got to stop using oil, right? Like, so we gotta take these things out. But if we take them out, we will hurt the people. We might help the planet in the long run, mm-hmm. but we will greatly inconvenience the people in the short term. And that is the dilemma that Jon Snow has to kind of wrestle with. And in the second act, like the things happen in the first act, in the second act, it's 5 years later. The people that he's trying to liberate don't like his ass because he was able to accomplish one of those feats, right? Like, you destroyed this thing, and now the white people are gonna, and now the white people are cracking down on us even more, right? You're not helping. Right, you're supposed to be one of us. You're supposed to be helping. You're not helping, and this is where what he's kind of wrestling with, and this is where I am in the second act, and it's opening up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm starting to see why people. I don't know why people are going crazy over this game. I really don't. Like, oh, it's a 9 out of 10. This is perfect. Like, this is the greatest Final Fantasy since whenever. I don't understand that, but I don't want to necessarily put it down, but I'm not in a rush to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you seem at least more bullish than you were a week ago.
I was a little upset a week ago.
Question: how long did it take you to get to this point in the game?
Oh man, like hours, man, like hours and hours. Like if I were playing a character action game, I'd be like three quarters of the way through like a Devil May Cry 5 or something like that.
Okay,
before I got to this.
So what you're telling me is that since you're using the Game of Thrones comparison, I will just continue that. That metaphor. So it's like if Game of Thrones were to be like, hey, like the show gets really good right around like the middle of season two, but you still need to watch the first season and a half because you need it to understand the story that's going on.
Yeah, and I don't, and look, man, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. People were like, well, I'm going to give a show four episodes, and if it doesn't hook me in four episodes, then I'm not going to watch. No, a show should be able to at least hold your interest enough to want to see a second episode. And if it doesn't, then turn it off.
Well, especially because the pilot, like the pilot is literally made to sell to a network. Like if the pilot's bad, then you're in really bad shape.
Exactly. Like I remember telling Jay, I'm like, Succession is Game of Thrones with the Murdoch family, you will love it. And he resisted it for a while because he didn't like the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, all right, I get it. But if I am able to plot, like, I'm telling you that this is going to be good and I'm your best friend, listen to me. But at the same time, like, I was, and I know Stephanie Sterling used this analogy, I didn't watch Breaking Bad until it was over, because that first season stunk. It didn't stink, but it was meandering, and that's what this first act does. It kind of meanders, for the most part. Like there's a lot of it that's just like, I'm gonna beat you over the head with how fucking racist these people are, and I don't need that in my entertainment, yo. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a good game, but
quick tangential question for you before you sell the fine people on our wares. Best television pilot in your opinion ever?
Oh, Jesus.
From your personal perspective. Like what pilot really fucking got you in on a show?
I don't know. It has to be something phenomenal because I'm usually not a TV person, right? Like I don't. It's probably an HBO show. I don't want to say Succession, even though I love that show. I don't know. I might have to default to that just because I'm not big on TV. Like, I watch TV because my wife watches TV.
Okay. The correct answer is Miami Vice. That is the correct answer. It's a movie, Micah. Like, the pilot's a fucking movie. And it's balls to the wall from tip to tail. It's got the pilot, Micah. The pilot has the most iconic scene in the show's history. The very first episode. It's the best.
I was not expecting. I was expecting like some prestige.
No, it's Miami Vice, which was prestige television back in 1984. I will have you know, that's when the networks ruled the day. Listeners, I am curious to hear your favorite TV pilots of all time, which you can let us know by going to densepixels.com/fans. And allow me to hand the ball to my co-host.
When you go to densepixels.com/fans, you'll get invited to our Discord, where you can answer questions like, what is the best television pilot of all time? And then you can shock your friends with a show that came out when you were probably 3 or 4 years old.
Was I even alive when Miami Vice debuted? Let me check that out while you're going through the rest of the ad read.
We talk about a lot of stuff in there, including F1 and wrestling and video games and video game news. Hey, if you wanna help produce the show, drop some video game news stories that you would like us to talk about in the general section. If you want to contribute to the show and have your questions adjudicated, go to the post office and we will answer any questions there at densepixels.com/fans. Go to youtube.com/densepixels, hit the like button and the subscribe button and the bell button and all that stuff that people who get paid a lot of money to sit in front of a camera and talk to you say to do. We'll get there one day, maybe. if our boss is done embezzling by and fleeing to another country,
that's what I'm saying. Like it's possible he might have moved to like a tax haven country. Like this dude is out there buying like $65 coffee at this like high end coffee shop.
Was it $65 or was it 65? Well,
I'm pretty sure it's 65 pesos.
Yeah, so it was like 2 cents.
Yeah. Jay's whole life is the fucking scene from Eurotrip where they're in that Eastern Bloc hotel and they pay for shit with like the change in their pockets. So
go to subscribe to all of our shows, including Nerdpocalypse, which is back, Black on Black Cinema, which is probably coming back next week, Coming Distractions, which is coming back whenever I get a chance to watch a movie, and the weekly preview episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast, which is back
officially.
Go to densepixels.com/premium for $5 a month, $50 for the year. You get access to all of the back catalog, including The Airing of Grievances, No Time to Bleed, The Men with the Golden Tongues, which I said is coming back in July. So probably towards the end of the month. Upstage Conversation and the full hour and a half, 2 hour-ish episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast.
Miami Vice aired the pilot episode of its show 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks before I was born. So,
wow.
So the news stories this week have a real international flair to them. We have taken one of America's favorite scapegoats and sent it overseas. So I did not hear about the story, but in France a couple of weeks ago, there was a 17-year-old delivery driver that was fatally shot by police when they should not have done so. So again, that's something else that we're importing over to other countries now, is apparently unjustified police violence. And in result of that, there have been rising tensions between French police and the residents of the neighborhood that this child was murdered by police in, and French citizens have started to riot and to protest this happening. Instead of declaring a state of emergency, French President Emmanuel Macron decided to just fucking send the troops out to the streets to impose order, which has not made people very happy. And he's not taking, you know, responsibility and saying, "Oh, the police fucked up." He's like, "Oh, no. It's social media's fault. They're playing a role in fueling this unrest." And so he's trying to work with companies to kind of remove this content from their platforms, which, you know, for a guy that's, you know, he is like a, like I would say like a conservative liberal, like a centrist in the truest word, little fascist tendencies from Emmanuel Macron on this. But the reason we're talking about this on this show and not on Look Forward Political Podcast is because he also said, quote, "We sometimes have the feeling that some of them," referring to the protesters, "are living out in the streets the video games that have intoxicated them." Mike, it's video games' fault that that people are protesting the murder of a child by police in France.
A couple of things. I've been to Paris a couple of times. Me and my wife love it. We're going to retire there. We fell in love with the place. Paris is just like any other city, and those Parisians love to protest.
Arguably like protest is like if anyone fucking owns the fucking flag of civil disobedience, it's the French.
Yeah, yo, like
a long and storied history
I feel like Macron doesn't know his own history, right, man. Like they'll lop your head off over there, man. Like it's not a game to them. We had a friend who did a work detail over there. And we stayed with her for like a week, and she was telling us about all this stuff, and she would tell us about like the garbage protests with a garbage strike. And just like, nah, yo, they're quick to just be like, nah, fuck this. Like, they're my kind of people. They're very snooty. They're very uppity.
A couple of months ago, we talked about this long forward. Like the French government was floating the idea of raising the retirement age in France from 62 to 64. And those motherfuckers were in the streets the next day.
That's what I'm saying. Like, French people have no qualms with marching on anything, yo. Yeah. Like, get out of here. So, no, it's not video games, right? It's your fucking government. One of the times me and my wife were there. I didn't know much about the story. I knew there was some riots going on. I knew that there was a child that was murdered. I said to my wife, I said, remember that guy we talked to at the bar? Remember what he said? She was like, yeah. I said, I bet you this kid, I don't know anything about this kid. I said, I bet you this kid is either Middle Eastern or he is Islamic or something of that nature, right? Because we went to a bar, and you know, I'm an American, and this guy, you know, he's talking to me about America, and he's just like, we're talking about race relations, mm-hmm. right? And he's like, yeah, man, I don't understand what's up with the race relations in America, man. I'm trying, you know, we're having this dialogue, and he's just like, ah, man, we don't care what color you are, man, you know, black, white, you know, whatever, man, it's all good. Just don't be Muslim. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, yo. The fuck? And he said it with a straight face too, man. Like, he wasn't joking. Like, he wasn't playing, man. And look, part of it is because they just had a act of terror. I think it was like a subway bombing or something over there a couple of months beforehand. But yeah, he was dead serious, man. And I said, I bet you this kid is like Muslim or something like that, man.
Well, and again, that doesn't surprise me either, because as much as like evangelical Christians like kind of, you know, have their way over here, and you know, Christianity is still the is it still the majority religion, or is it just the plurality religion? I don't know if it's been surpassed yet. I feel like it's just the plurality at this point.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
All I know is we are the most persecuted people on the face of the planet.
Of course,
at any given moment.
I'm hand waving away. The countries of Western Europe are really into Christianity. Like they're big fans over there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The source of the Crusades.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they might be into it.
Yes, again, we said it before, we said it again, this goes back to our very first episode. Stop blaming video games for stuff that is obviously not the fault of video games, you idiots.
Get your politics out of my games.
Yes, of course.
Please.
Over to the world of international business. So Micah, you might not realize this, and people who don't follow European sports leagues, or well, really international sports leagues, it's not just the European thing, it's very much just a non-North American thing, but the big sports leagues around the world usually have a title sponsor that kind of hedge their branding. So like for the Premier League, they're sponsored by the bank Barclays, so like they're the Barclays Premier League, right? And you know, every other major, you know, European soccer league has a title sponsor. So for the longest time, La Liga, which is the top soccer league in Spain, was sponsored by a Spanish bank called Santander. So they were always La Liga Santander for many, many, many years. Well, they have dropped the branding agreement with Santander, and now the home of Barcelona Football Club and Real Madrid is going to be La Liga EA Sports, as EA Sports is now the title sponsor for the Spanish top flight. And the funny part about this, the funny part about the story, is that EA is also the sponsor for the second tier of La Liga soccer as well. But they're not going to be, you know, La Liga EA Sports 2 or anything like that. No, no, no. They've decided to brand it after the animation engine that exists within FIFA. So the second tier of Spanish soccer is going to be La Liga Hypermotion. Is going to be the name. The fucking second tier of Spanish soccer.
Come on, yo. What are we doing? Is this like the European equivalent of like, hey, the Pelicans are going to play at the Smoothie Center?
No, because King a lot Center. Of times, a lot of times they still have that too. So like all of the clubs have their own stadiums. Now some of the stadiums do not have a corporate sponsor. So like Tottenham Hotspur, my beloved football club, they play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. They don't play at like Tottenham Hotspur Stadium brought to you by, you know, fucking, you know,
M&T Bank.
Right, or anything like that. But there are definitely some stadiums that have that corporate sponsor on the outside. But that's not a widely thing. No, but what you're going to see on La Liga television constantly is you're just going to see that EA Sports logo just thrown in your face incessantly. And the other funny part is, too, in print, it is like the actual official way that you write this out is in all caps. So like it's La Liga EA Sports. Like it's not La Liga EA Sports, but it's the former of those things, which is very funny to me. It's also very funny to me because I just think back to when FIFA wanted $1 billion for the FIFA name, and EA Sports was like kick rocks, and the president of FIFA was just like, oh, he's like, true fans will come to the FIFA football game, and EA Sports will die on the vine. And meanwhile, EA Sports is like, no, we're cool, man. Don't. We're good. We've got a sponsorship for a whole ass league, so don't worry about us, Johnny Infantino, which is the head of FIFA's actual name.
What is it,
Johnny Infantino?
Wow.
That sounds like, what's Johnny TV? Johnny TV. What is his name? John Morrison.
Yes.
You know how John Morrison changes his surname after every fucking, anytime he re-debuts somewhere, he's Johnny TV yes. right now.
And what Johnny Infantino looks like is he looks like a version of Jeff Bezos that was the original image was on a 16:9 monitor, but the image is stretched on a 21:9 monitor. That's what Johnny Infantino looks like. So he's like a wider headed Jeff Bezos.
Oh my god. Well, speaking of which, go to densepixels.com/Amazon for all of your Amazon purchases. When you go to densepixels.com/Amazon, you help us. You help Gianni Infantino, we get a little bit of a kickback, and you get exactly what you want.
It's Prime Day soon. The Prime Day deals are starting up.
That's right. You can go now, and then you can go during Prime Day. And now let's see what is. Here, when I go to densepixels.com/Amazon to all of my Amazon purchases, what do I want to type in? No, none of this stuff looks interesting to me. None of this stuff looks interesting. There's a lot of baby stuff, right? A lot of baby crap. We need a new car seat. No one wants to hear about that. There's a bunch of hair care products. Nobody wants to hear about black women's hair care products.
I was about to say, it's probably very different than my hair care products, I would imagine.
I typed in Gianni Infantino into densepixels.com/Amazon. And, the first thing that comes up is the official history of the FIFA World Cup. It's a hardcover book, by the FIFA World Football Museum and Gianni Infantino.
Okay. That is not a book that you probably are going to get a very accurate depiction of the history of the FIFA World Cup from.
It is available in hardcover, you know, like an actual book, and you can get it for $40 when you go to densepixels.com/Amazon. It's got a foreword from Gianni Infantino, which just sounds funny to me. Gianni Infantino, like that name sounds funny to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
What is it with it? What was the other guy's name? Sepp Blatter or something like that? Like, you just got to have weird, you just got to have a wrestling name. And then you can run FIFA.
So, Motorsport Manager is not the only new game that I've been playing. And I'm going to preface this by saying I know that we have had a long running bit on this show, especially when we covered new releases. That we have always poked fun at the bevy of insert noun simulator games that are out there, right? And there's a ton of them. But I have found one that was critically lauded, and I am losing so much time to this game right now, and that, Micah, is Power Wash Simulator.
I heard about this.
It's so relaxingly fun, Micah. Especially if you're a crazy person like me, and has my OCD brain, where I see this like fucking, you know, like yesterday I finished up a big playground that was just filthy, dirt all over it. I took out my power washer, and I cleaned the shit out of it. And I was listening to podcasts the entire time. It is the best podcast game because you really don't have to put a whole lot of thought into what you're doing. You're just using a power washer. Like the most thought that needs to go into it is, which nozzle do I want to use? Do I want the most coverage? Or is there like a really nasty spot of dirt and grime that I need to clean off? So I need something with a more concentrated stream. So I need to go with a smaller angle nozzle. It doesn't cover as much, but the water comes out, you know, with more force. And do I need to use like a cleaning product on this? And like, well, what part am I missing? It's just very satisfying. Like, and also me, who really likes finding more efficient ways to do things, like kind of at learning as you go, like the most efficient way to clean this house. Like what's the best way to tackle it? Do you just do a portion at a time? Do you try to do like all the walls and then all the windows and then go up to the roof and do the whole roof? Like, I don't know. But it's fun because you can just sit here and you can power wash things. And the game is very earnest in how it presents power washing. It's just like, oh, your friends like need you to help clean things. They're going to pay you money. And then you can use that money to go to the power washing store and buy a more powerful power wash gun or new nozzles for your gun or extension rods so that you can, you know, have longer reach and extended coverage. And because this game has been popular, they have a lot of DLC, which is stuff that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see. So they have like a Tomb Raider DLC where you can clean like the Croft Manor of power washing stuff. They have a Final Fantasy VII themed DLC where you can clean objects in the Final Fantasy VII universe, like a Mako reactor with your power washing gun. There's a Warhammer 40,000 DLC that's coming out later this year. There's a SpongeBob DLC that just came out.
Yeah, I'm looking at the SpongeBob DLC right now, where you are at the bottom of Bikini Bottom, I guess. Mm-hmm. You're at Bikini Bottom, and you're just kind of power washing that pineapple under the sea.
Yeah,
this is hilarious. I don't appreciate the Tomb Raider one, where it's like this rich British aristocrat who steals from tombs to put in her own personal museum, mm-hmm, hires me to wash her windows.
Look, she pays you like $1,000, and it's probably Winston that's hiring you, not actually like
Long not Kong. So not even no. The lady of the manor,
the butler is hiring you. So.
Look, man, I get it. I don't get it for $25, but I get it. It does look kind of... I could see the appeal.
Micah, it delivers the content for $25, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And again, like I can play this when my wife comes to hang out with me and we can chat, and I can just sit there and just fucking spray stuff, man. It gets aggravating at points because like sometimes like you think you clean this like thing off and it's like, oh, it's not fully clean yet. And you're just like, fuck.
Yeah, you gotta get the
you gotta get down. Flesh. You can get down in like prone positions. So you can like get the underside, like the steps and shit like that.
Yo, they're playing tic-tac-toe in this thing. I get it. This is kind of like one of those make-your-own-fun games. And then, by the way, like, you know. Yeah, I get it. It's funny.
Yes.
Square published this?
Apparently Square published this version, which is how they got the crossovers that you wouldn't expect.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Here's another job simulator.
Yeah.
For all of you that want a job but, like, don't want to actually work.
Well, and now it's having the adverse effect, which you know, this game is probably secretly funded by big power washing, because now I look at my house and like, man, I really wish I had a power washer so I could, you know, so I could clean some stuff. get some of this dirt and grime off my front porch.
That's hilarious.
So we only have one non-carry related question because we forgot to put out the call to the post office, but that's okay. Because Johnny asked Carrie a question about her tattoos, but she's not on this week. So Cam asked, because Raw was in Baltimore this past week, were any of you hooligans responsible for our man Dirty Dom getting booed while eating at Jimmy's Famous Seafood in Baltimore? I guess Dominic Mysterio got booed at Jimmy's.
That's one that's funny.
Yeah.
two, you know, Jimmy's is pretty famous. I've never been to Jimmy's.
I've said this on the show before. Like, it blows my mind that this like lauded seafood restaurant that is beloved by professional wrestlers across the globe that have performed in this city is literally 5 minutes from my house, and it's in an area of town that you would never expect such a restaurant to be. Like it's right outside of Dundalk.
Yeah, like it's so yeah. I've never been to Jimmy's because I got this Jimmy's confused with another Jimmy's.
Mm-hmm.
I got Jimmy's Famous Seafood confused with Jimmy's Seafood at Fells Point.
Okay, no, it's not that.
And I thought it was that, and I went in there one day, and I'm like, this is terrible. This is god awful. Like, what are people like so going gaga for?
Well,
this
and here's the thing about Jimmy's Famous Seafood. It's fine. Like, it's fine. Like, it's good. There are better seafood restaurants. That's all I'm saying. So
I wanna go, but like it's off of Hollabird Avenue, so there's probably like three strip clubs on the way.
No, there's no strip clubs around it. There's just dilapidated, unoccupied small shopping centers that are near.
And so
there's Jimmy's, and then like down the block from that is Vinny's Cafe, which is actually really good, really good Italian restaurant, which I just had pizza from tonight, ironically enough. But yes, so Jimmy's is right there, and again, it's fine. I get Jimmy's for lunch. I'll have it DoorDashed every now and then, like maybe once every couple of months, and I'll get it. I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. And then I don't think about Jimmy's again for several months thereafter. So like I said, I'm like, whenever I hear about like wrestlers and Jimmy's and like, oh, like they went to Jimmy's and great and they love it, it's great, I'm just like, I guess. maybe just because I have access and I'm a local, and so it doesn't like wow me that much. But
I mean, they don't know any better. But look, I can't talk. I've never been. I confused it with a hole in the wall that doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, it's oh, that's right. I can't look at stuff on Twitter anymore. I was trying to go to their Twitter to see if they had anything like. All right. That's a whole nother. All right,
we've got time. We can do our own post office. Like, how badly, like, so, like, you know how, like you've seen The Producers, right?
Yeah. The whole point of it was like, let's make the worst fucking thing possible,
right? So that, like, is Twitter somehow secretly insured so that Elon Musk will make like $100 billion if the site torpedoes, because there's no other explanation for how he's running it other than the fact that he'll somehow make a shitload of money if it fails.
Oh God. Yeah, man. I just like, I don't get it, man. And then people are like, this guy's a genius. Like, nah, yo, he's like a competent project manager. Like, that's it.
I don't even know if that's the case, because he sure makes a lot of decisions without consulting subject matter experts.
Right. And that's me being incredibly generous, yeah. Right? Like, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Like, he went and he bought this thing because he had his feelings hurt, and he doesn't know what to do with it. It's like that Heath Ledger Joker quote. Like, I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do when I got, you know, if I caught
it's,
one.
It's so crazy because he's like trying to brute force people into buying Twitter Blue subscriptions. But it's like he doesn't realize that it's like, oh no, either you're going to get Twitter Blue or your Twitter experience is going to be severely hampered. And he doesn't realize there's like hidden option C, which is, or I just stop using Twitter. Like you're making this product so bad that I'm just not going to use it anymore.
Right. And all you need is for I'm assuming there are other Twitter style social media apps out there.
So
all you need is one to hit. And
there hasn't been one that has really grabbed the market share. A lot of people think that Blue Sky could be that one because it was started by Jack, who, you know, started Twitter. And so, but it still doesn't have, it's still very siloed right now. And not enough people are on it to really make it a viable alternative. But if Blue Sky were to open up the floodgates and people who were dissatisfied with Twitter could migrate over there, and most of the people that they follow also came over there, I think that Twitter could potentially have a serious issue on their hands. Ish. Not that they already don't. I mean, like, again, like, how do you, the limiting how many tweets you can view per day thing is one thing, right? Which was a self-inflicted wound anyway, because like the reason that you can't, why you had to do this is because you fired so much of your engineering staff that like, you know, you literally can't keep up with the back end right now, which is one thing. But the thing that's arguably more egregious, like, you're really not gonna let people view tweets without a login? Like, that's how you get people to create accounts, man. Like, you have to, like, get people in the door and then be like, oh, like, I want to be here all the time and see this stuff on demand. Like, I don't want to just have to, you know, Google it and come across. Like, your tweets are out of Google search results, my dude. Like, how fucking dumb are you? This guy's an idiot. He's so stupid. How is every company that he's run not collect? I guess because truly, like, in those other instances, he's not the one that's actually, like, running the day-to-day. Like the vision, like I guess at Tesla, like, because that company was already kind of solidified when he got there, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are making like the important decisions there, and he's just kind of like doing this broad overarching strategy shit. I don't know. Like I said, he's an idiot. I don't know why people think that he's smart.
Apparently having money means you're smart.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like that's something that Jay has always said, and he's 100% correct, is that stupid people confuse wealth with intelligence. And they think that, man, if you're rich, you must be smart. Because how else could you be rich if you weren't smart?
It's not it. It's not it. I guarantee you, that famous person that you don't like and think is dumb is wealthier than you. So that doesn't... I mean, all right, yo. All right. I just can't. I can't, man. I can't. Jesus Christ.
So, well, that is it for the show's begin. You can submit questions to us every week by going to densepixels.com/fans and posting them in the post office for us to read and answer on the show. Make sure you subscribe to this show as well as all the other TNP Studio shows wherever you download fine podcasts. You can also go to youtube.com/densepixels and subscribe to us there, where we post this podcast in video format every single week. That is it for us this week. Thank you all very much for watching and listening, and we will see you all the next time.
See ya.